failed to mention the list for those to serve for the month of March is out on the table in the vestibule. So pick one of those copies up on your way out. The scripture reading today comes from Luke, the sixth chapter, Luke 6, beginning in verse 27 and going through 36. Luke 6, 27 through 36. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that take away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thanks do you have? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thanks have you? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping nothing to gain. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful.
Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to go to heaven? Absolutely. Do you want to go today? Absolutely. I got asked that question this last week. Someone asked me, did I want to go to heaven? I know where they was going with it, and I just went right down the road they wanted to go, and I wanted to see where they wanted to end up. They said, do you want to go to heaven? I said, yes, sir, absolutely. Do you want to go today? I said, yes. They said, really? What better day? What better day to go to heaven than today? And that was kind of my conversation. And then he brought up the fact how that people are not perfect. I said, no, I never said I was perfect. You didn't ask me that. You asked me, did I want to go to heaven? I said, yes. Do I want to go today? Yes, I want to go today. And we wasn't talking about being perfect. I'm not perfect. But do you want to go to heaven more than anything else? And do you want to go today? Last several weeks, we've been talking about love. We've tried to cover a wide variety, a wide aspect of love and what it means to us. And today is probably the most difficult of all the lessons. The Bible tells us, not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does what? He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That tells us a lot when we think about that passage, especially with the lesson we're going to look at today. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we know that a lot of people believe in God. A lot of people focus on, well, at least in conversation, kind of like the conversation I had this last week, do you want to go to heaven? And today, and all the different questions that get thrown to us sometimes as we're talking to people and they're talking to us about our faith, about religion, about where we stand. People try to trick you sometimes. But that verse says a lot. We've got to do something. We've got to go a step above and beyond besides just saying Lord. In other words, I have to do more than just believe. I have to do the will of my Father. Well, what is the will of God? Well, here's where it gets hard. The will of God is that, as Steve read for us this morning, that we love our enemies. That's tough. And you know how I normally do. I think we got to get a definition. I think we got to know who we're talking about. Because I imagine most all of us could look around the room in here this morning and say, I don't have an enemy in here at all. I love everybody in here. So let's look at not only what Steve read for us, but then also we're going to add to the list that Jesus gives us. And let's try to come up with a definition to help us kind of understand a little more about who our enemy really is. Jesus gets started in verse 27. And he defined an enemy as someone who hates you. Regardless of how you feel about that person, they hate you. That is your enemy. Verse 28, he expanded the word enemy to those who curse you and mistreat you. So you got a group of people that Jesus is describing here, and he says, your enemy is those who hate you. Then he goes and he says, those that curse you and mistreat you. People who use their words to hurt you, their actions to hurt you. That's who Jesus is talking about here. Then in verse 29, he said, an enemy is someone who uses violence against you and steals from you. In other words, they respect neither your property or your body yourself. In Matthew's account of the thing, same thing that Steve read for us, there's two more ways to think about your enemies. In chapter 5 of Matthew, in verse 41, he mentions there is a force. They force you to do what you do not want to do. That is an enemy. And then in verse 44, Matthew chapter 5, mentions those who persecute you. Now, if we were to stop right there, and we could, but if we were to stop right there, we have a pretty extensive list, don't we? We have a pretty good list of what Jesus is talking about, and from there, we could branch off in our minds, and we could encapsulate all those people that Jesus is talking about. But an enemy, I went further in my look. I got on the internet and I looked at some articles and I looked at some commentaries and I looked at different things to try to expand to get our thinking going a little more this morning. An enemy is anyone who hates you, but he is also anyone that you hate. It can be someone who you share a house with. It could be someone that you used to share a house with. He or she could be a stranger in traffic. He or she could be a rude customer in your store. Or it could be an unfriendly clerk where you shop. It could be a neighbor who lives nearby you. It could be an ex-spouse's new mate. It could be your ex-spouse. It could even be your current spouse. It could be your parents. It could be your children. It could be your siblings and other family members. It could be a boss who treated you unfairly. It could be an employee who accused you of doing something. It could be a teacher who seemed to have it in for you in class or in school. It could be a student who made your classroom difficult. It could be a co-worker who's bound and determined to take advantage of you and undermine you at any time. It could be some woman. It could be some man. It could be the person who stole something from you as a childhood, maybe abused you or neglected you. And really, I guess one of the best definitions I found was this. An enemy is anyone who has hurt you physically, emotionally, or spiritually. hopefully within all that, somewhere in our minds we have a grasp or we have an idea or some thought process of an enemy and where they sit in our lives or where they sit in other people's lives. But Jesus, in the text that we're talking about this morning, he talks to us about loving our enemies. You know, we should listen to this. Because when we read this, I think some people misunderstand what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is not necessarily telling us how to feel. He's telling us how to treat our enemy. And I want you to think about that as we go through this lesson. Jesus is not directly telling us how to feel, but he is giving us some indications, some ideas of how that we should treat our enemy. And I think there's three things as we think about this passage that I want us to bring out and I want us to apply to our lives. And number one, Jesus instructs us to respond to our enemies with practical assistance. Found a story of a Baptist minister during the American Revolution. His name was Peter Miller. He lived in Pennsylvania and he was friends with George Washington. But Miller, it said, had a bitter enemy named Michael Whitman, who did all that he could to frustrate and humiliate the preacher. One day, Mr. Whitman was arrested for treason and sentenced to die. Peter Miller walked 70 miles from Philadelphia to plead for the life of the traitor. General Washington said to Miller that he was sorry, but their friendship was not enough to pardon the life of his friend, Michael Whitman. "My friend," the old preacher said, "he is the bitterest enemy that I have." And when Washington realized that Miller had walked 70 miles to offer practical assistance to an enemy, he granted the pardon. Miller and Whitman did not become buddies after that, but they were no longer enemies. Story kind of brings it home to me, and I hope it does you as well. Sometimes we think that we're only going to go do good for someone that we care about. And Jesus here is teaching us that we need to go a little bit further in our life as Christians and that we go out of our way to help our enemy. Look at verse 35. He says to lend. Well, actually, if you back up, when we think about the practical assistance for your enemy, look at verse 30. He says to give, and then in verse 35, he says to lend. He isn't talking about wishing good things on our enemies or feeling happy if someone wonders something wonderful happens to him. He sets his teaching in concrete of the life experience. You don't have to feel good about someone. You don't have to feel good about that to do good for them. You see what I said a few minutes ago? I don't think Jesus is necessarily telling us how to feel as much as he's telling us how to act. Because it's difficult for us when we're talking about our enemy, we're talking about someone we don't like. We don't feel good about them, but we can help them. And later on in this lesson, we're going to look at how that circles back around before you get on to me on the way out. It's going to circle back around, not how we feel, but how we treat them, but it comes back around to how we feel. When we change our actions, when we change the way that we do things, it's going to change our feelings about certain things. Think about it like this. Have you ever been angry with someone? Probably most everybody ought to be nodding their head yes. We've all been angry at some point in our life. And the more that we dwell on that, the more that we avoid that person, the more we allow it to fester in our lives and we don't reach out and we avoid them. Have you ever seen someone and you avoid them because you didn't want to talk to them? You avoided them because of conflict that maybe you had in your life. In other words, if you were going out the back door and they were standing on in the under the carport, maybe you would go this way and go out this door to avoid having to speak, to avoid having to make any kind of gesture to them at all. Jesus here is teaching us, folks, that we need to go out of our way. We need to be a people that respond to our enemies with assistance, not to be people that avoid them. Second, Jesus insists that we are to bless those who curse us. You know, let's be honest. There's really nothing as good as responding to an insult with another one. Probably a lot of us has that in us. When someone says something to us, when someone is short with us, someone says something smart to us, we like to respond. And there's been times in my life that, not many times, but there's been times in my life I couldn't think of a good comeback. And about an hour or two later, or maybe 3 or 4 hours later, I think, boy, if I could have just thought of that, I would have had them at that point. So I won't say it because they're putting this on the internet. It goes on. But sometime asked me about a lady who told me she knew why I sweated so much. I don't care if it's on the internet or not. She said, I sweat so much because I was so fat. I asked her why she wasn't hot. We like to respond to people, don't we? When someone takes a jab at us, we like to take a jab back. John Jacob's wife once said to Winston Churchill, Winston, if you were my husband, I should flavor your coffee with poison. Churchill replied, Madam, if I were your husband, I would drink it. Congressman John Randolph and Henry Clay met on the sidewalk in Washington. Clay said, I, sir, do not step aside for a scoundrel. To which Randolph replied, on the other hand, I always do. And he stepped aside. An actress congratulated another actress on a book she had recently written. I enjoyed it, she said. Who wrote it for you? The author answered, well, I did. I'm so glad you liked it. Who read it to you? We like to have responses to people. We're not going to be that person that you're going to take a jab at me and I'm not going to return the favor. But in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23, Peter says, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. Are we a people that retaliate? Or are we a person that just takes it? He uses the word there, bless. I think we hear the word compliment. It's not quite enough to respond to an insult with, hey, that's a nice tie. It's blessing. Blessing that person. And then third and finally, Jesus commands us to give them spiritual intercession. In other words, he's telling us in this passage we have to pray for our enemies. Pray for them. You know, there's no more powerful response to an enemy and their insult when they give it to us for us to say, I'll be praying to God for you. Really, it's intimidating and it can be scary as well. Because most people think that when you put a shot in at me, if I don't return the favor, something's wrong with me. How many times do we say, I'll be praying for you? Have we ever said that with one of our enemies? Or maybe the other question should be, do we pray for our enemies? Do we pray for those that we avoid? Do we pray for those who hurt us? Do we pray for those who abuse us or make fun of us in any way? Are we like the stories I read to you a few minutes ago, we try to come back with the smartest answer. You know, as I was reading this last week and studying some commentaries, and I'm nearly done, but when I was reading the commentaries this last week, you know, a lot of people in Matthew, I think it's chapter 5, in verse 38, 39, or verse 40, somewhere in there, Jesus is talking about if someone strikes you or somebody hits you on the cheek, turn the other one. Y'all remember that passage? All my life, I've always thought that if someone ever come up and hit me in my jaw, Jesus is telling me I've got to turn the other one. But as I was reading a commentary and doing more thought on this, he's really dealing with not so much the physical abuse, because Jesus don't want us to stand there and take a beating. He's talking about insults and how that someone can insult us. And when you think about it, an insult would be a slap to the face. Because you think about the cheek that he's talking about, most people are right-handed, and I know you left-handed people, y'all are proud of that, but most people are right-handed. So if you take a right hand and you reach over and you slap someone, it wouldn't be necessarily a hard punch. It would be a slap. And then you turn the other one to them as well. What's Jesus teaching us there? Is he not teaching us that we need to take the insult? Not that we stand there, and when I was younger, I remember we used to kid around some about, well, you hit me once, all right, you got me the second time, now I can fight. Because Jesus tells us we got to turn the other cheek. After the second punch, now I can fight. That's not what Jesus is teaching us as Christians. He's teaching us that we take those insults. You know, we've been called to be better than the world. We've been called to love our enemies. This passage that we talked about today, or that Steve read for us and we've tried to discuss, is one that's challenging to me, at least. Challenging to me in the sense that it's difficult for me to sit here and think, how can I help my enemies? It's even hard to pray for them. It's hard for people to sit and think about the people that's done us wrong in some way and say, how can I do good to them? It's against what the world tells us. It's against what we see every day of our life. But it's what God is telling us to do. Do you want to go to heaven more than anything else? If you do, then we have to.